us, and he always makes a way, and he always will make a way. Amen. Ain't that good? All right, I want you to take your Bibles with me tonight just for a few minutes, if you would, please. And let's look in the book of Luke this evening. Look in the book of Luke with me, if you will. Let me see if I can get all this equipment on and where I want it and all that good stuff. The book of Luke, chapter number 7. And if you look at the context of all of the things that are mentioned here in this chapter, you'll notice that, well, there's a lot of stuff that goes on. I mean, the Lord's doing a lot of stuff and saving people and healing people and raising people from the dead. I mean, there's all kinds of things going on. And when you get to the end of the chapter, and that's where I want us to look, if you will, at verse number 36, another little story pops up here that we're pretty familiar with, or I think if you've read your Bible, been to, you know, Bible studies and Sunday schools and all that you're familiar with. In verse number 36, there's a story that is given to us about the lady that washes Jesus' feet with her tears and dries it with the hair of her head and then anoints him at this time. There's two different occasions in your Bible where it's not the same occasion. It's two different times that the Lord is anointed. This is one of them. And mainly the idea of this story is that the anointing is a picture of worship. I mean, it's a real picture of worship. But maybe we'll look at it a little bit different, if you will, tonight. But let's read it and let's look at it, if you will. Verse 36, chapter 7 of Luke, it says, "And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping and began to wash his feet with tears and did wipe them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she's a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he said, Master, say on. This is Jesus. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore, which of them will love him most? And Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. Amen. If you will, let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, again for this evening. Thank you again for loving us, and thank you for bringing us back to this place. And I pray now, just give us your wisdom and give us your insight. Give us your direction tonight on the things to say and the things that we can see and the things you want to give us to rejoice in. And again, we'll just give you praise and honor and glory for it tonight. I pray you'd save the lost. Pray you'd stir our souls, and I pray we'd just be here to worship you and love you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. I want you to look at these verses with me tonight and think about this, if you will, just for a thought. There's only one entitled to do it. There's only one entitled to do it. And really what I mean by that is that we're going to look at this And do you realize there's only one person that's entitled to be God? But do you know that there's a lot of folks that try to be God? There's a lot of folks that want to kind of jump in and take God's place in a lot of things and in a lot of areas. I want to tell you, sometimes me and you do the same thing too if we're not careful. I want you to look at this tonight, and first of all, we're going to look at the man Simon that has invited Jesus to come to his house. He's, as I told you, if you look back in this chapter, you see some real interesting things that go on throughout the entirety of this chapter. First of all, you see a man that's a centurion, and his servant is healed simply by the word of Jesus. And then after that, you see the story of how that Jesus raises the widow's son that's going out to the graveyard. You see that. And then as you go on further, you see Jesus talks to the crowd about John the Baptist and who he is and how great a man he was. But then that anybody that believes on Jesus Christ can be greater. He's done all of this through this chapter. And while all this is going on, there are the Pharisees that are hearing all of these things that Jesus is saying and watching all the things that he's doing. And apparently it grabs the interest of at least one of them. And it says there in verse 36, one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. He wanted Jesus to come down at his house and have supper with him. So Jesus says yes. He goes to this Pharisee's house, and you know, really, I don't know if he went with what he was thinking about as far as going, if it was going to be, well, I mean, I know he knew, and you and I understand he knew what he was running into, but you know, you just figure Jesus knew this wasn't going to be the most comfortable thing that could ever happen during his day. But can I tell you, the Lord always deals with those uncomfortable things. He's always ready to deal with uncomfortable things. Now, sometimes we're not, but he is. But as that scene is set up, you see that there's the man there by the name of Simon, and he's invited the Lord to come in. It said, one of the Pharisees, and as I say, his name's Simon, he desired Jesus that he would eat with him. And he went down to the Pharisee's house, and he sat down to meat. And do you notice what happened next? And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears and did wipe them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet. Amen? And anointed them with the ointment. Oh, man, what a scene that is. I mean, that just have to be a scene anyway. If you saw that and you realize, here is this. I'd assume that it's kind of a fancy schmancy thing. They get together and they're going to have a dinner, and probably some pretty dignified and up and high and mighty folks are there. And here's Jesus come in as a special guest. And then all of a sudden, here comes a lady in off the street. And the Bible says very clearly here, it appears that everybody knew who she was. It says, and behold, a woman in the city. Now, this is Luke writing. He says this in context, and then later on, Simon the Pharisee's thinking it, which was a sinner. And again, you know, a little bit later on, when Simon is thinking what he says, if this man knew who she was, she's a sinner. Wow, why in the world? Now, in that day, if you were some kind of a teacher, a rabbi, or a religious figure, you just didn't want sinners touching you. Amen? I mean, that was the way they legally looked at it. Oh, you don't want them old dirty people touching you. They're rotten, stinking sinners, and they'll defile you. Thank God, I'm glad there's not a sinner alive that can defile our Lord. Amen. Amen. As a matter of fact, that's why he came, he said, was to save sinners. Amen. So, first of all, I want you to notice this while we're looking at this. I want you to notice, you see the mistake this guy makes, this Pharisee, Simon, the mistake he makes of playing God. He makes a mistake of playing God. And before you get ready to get all over him, let me just tell you, sometimes you and I do the same thing. Amen? Sometimes you and I do the same thing. You know why? Because sometimes we do a little assessment and we begin to look at a situation and we just begin to make some judgments on our own, don't we? And you'll notice that this guy does the same thing. And I want you to notice, he's pretty good at making an examination of others. Isn't that me and you in a nutshell? We're good at examining others. I mean, we're good at looking at somebody and saying, well, buddy, they're rough, or they need to get saved, or they're lost, or, you know, we make those own judgments sometimes, don't we? Well, the Bible says here's this guy. He's looking at her, and as I said, it seems like everybody knew something about her, and it said that he thought within himself here just a little bit. It said, now in verse number 39, that this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. Amen. Oh, you better be careful, friend. You and I better be careful, because sometimes if we're not careful, we will be in the place of this man and we'll be making those examinations of others and saying, well, you see them? They need to get right with God. We'll begin to point that old judgmental finger. We'll begin to point out their sin. We'll begin to whatever. Can I tell you, sometimes you better go get yourself a mirror. Amen. Because I'm telling you, this fella could see what was going on in her life, but he failed to see what was going on in his own life. Amen. And you know what that is? That's just that self-righteousness that's built into every one of us, right? I mean, we've got that self-righteous stuff on the inside of us. And boy, we just, let me just tell you, I'm Mr. Big Shot, and I'm, you know, and some of y'all to be shot. Amen. I'm just telling you. But here he is making that examination and not having any real basis for any ground to stand on. What are you saying? I'm saying, brother, sometimes you and I make an examination of others and we have certain expectation of others that we don't hold for ourselves. Well, I don't know what he expected out of her, but his expectation was that I am a whole lot better than she is. And I expect her to do better. I expect her to act better. I expect her to do something different. I expect her not to even come and bother my party. I expect her not to come and make a spectacle and a mess and an amusement out of what's going on. I just think she ought not to be there. And that was his expectation. I mean, when you look at this whole experience, brother, let me just tell you. I mean, he had some expectations that were kind of out of the ordinary. But that's what happens sometimes when you begin to find yourself in the miserable position and the mistake of trying to play God on anybody else's life. He was looking at her. And I would say, dare say, that everybody else that was there, as well known as this lady seems to be, everybody was my, here comes that sinner woman. Amen. Y'all remember the story that we've looked at before many, many times, and we've looked at Ruth. Who is Ruth? What does the Bible call her? The Moabitess. What does that mean? Whenever the servants were asking, Boaz asked his servants, it's that Moabite woman. That's the one that come back from down there, and she come with Naomi, and we all know what she is. Amen. You ever been there and done that? You've seen somebody and say, well, we know what they are. We know who they are. We know what that's all about. Brother, I'm telling you, sometimes, and I'll be honest, I make the same mistake sometimes. I make those same judgments. But brother, can I tell you that it's a big mistake by me and you in trying to play God. I mean, when you begin to judge and when you begin to examine and when you begin to condemn and when you begin to be the judge, jury, and executioner of some of your fellow men, hey, you better look out, you're in trouble, amen. You don't know what's going on in hearts and lives. And as a matter of fact, at this point, hey, there's something happening in this lady's life, and it's a good thing, amen? It's a good thing. But first of all, I just want you to see the mistake that this guy makes of playing God. But second of all, I want us to notice this. I want you to notice the magnificence of the power of God. Again, I want to tell you, Jesus knows exactly what is going on at this time. Jesus knows what's going on. I mean, look, he sees this woman, and he knows that she's coming. She comes in off of the street. Now, I don't quite understand how that all works, but apparently there was an opportunity. There was an open door. She slipped in at the opportunity, the open door, and she came out. And the Bible said that she got behind Jesus, and she began to weep. She began to cry, and with her tears, she began to wash his feet. Now, just stop for a minute and think about that. Just kind of let that soak in. I mean, I think you and I have to know that, man, there's something awful powerful going on here. If you find some old dear broken sinner that comes in and they're brokenhearted enough that they're behind the Savior and they're weeping their eyes out enough to wet his feet with tears, that's some pretty powerful crying right there, isn't it? Amen? I want you to see, here's a lady that is just absolutely broken in her life. She is weeping with such... When she comes into the scene, I'm telling you, she's a broken lady. She's brokenhearted. Her spirit is broken. I believe this is a good picture in your Bible of just good old-fashioned conviction of a sinner's heart. Everybody knew she's a sinner. I imagine she probably heard it, don't you? Everybody'd see her on the street, and the old pious Pharisee had his nose up. There's a sinner. You're a sinner. Don't get near me. Oh, you're a sinner, you know. Probably everybody in the world looked down on her, and they talked about her. They put her in a bad light, in a bad position. Oh, she's a sinner. She probably felt it. She probably did. And brother, somewhere along the line, the part that I like is this. Something got a hold of her heart. I mean, something got good in a hold of her heart. Oh, aren't you glad for the magnificent power of God that comes on in somebody's life? Something got a hold of her, and she was so broken. She'd heard, maybe she'd heard some of this other stuff. You remember we talked about the centurion servant had just gotten healed by Jesus speaking the word. And then if you go and you read that next little thing, and you see where that widow in Nain and her son has been raised from the dead and comes back to life. And Jesus presents him to mama. Look what it says there in chapter 7 and verse 16. This is after all this has happened. Verse 15. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. And he delivered him to his mother. And there came a fear on all. And they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God hath visited his people. And this rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea and throughout all the region round about. And the disciples of John showed him all these things. Word had gotten out that there was somebody that could do something, that had some of the magnificent power of God on their life. No doubt this lady had heard that. And somewhere along the line, the convicting power of her sin got a hold of her. I don't know. We're not told and give us any detail. And guess what? You don't need to know any detail. Amen? Somebody come up here at this altar at any time, they began to weep and their hearts broke. I don't need the details. I don't need to know what you've done. I don't need to know all those deep, dark sins. Tell them to the Lord. He'll take care of them. Amen? Hey, here she is. She's broken. She's weeping. She's weeping. She's weeping. Can you see her brokenness? I mean, let me tell you something. I don't know if there's any one of us in the room that do what she did. She came in off the street. She busted up a party, y'all. She came in on a party. And you know what she did? She was brokenhearted. She didn't care who saw her. She didn't care who talked. They'd already talked about her. They went, well, who cares what else they got to say? Amen. she's here and she's weeping and she's broken and she's weeping at Jesus' feet. Amen. And while she is there, hey, you begin to get a little picture of the magnificent power of God. First of all, let me just tell you, there is some convicting power of God. There's some convicting power. I believe this is a great picture of conviction in this lady's life. I mean, she's like, hey, guess what? I'm a stinking, rotten sinner, and I need to be saved. You remember them days? You remember them days when you realized what you were? You might not have walked around and told everybody. You might not have really verbalized it, but on the inside, down in your heart, you knew you were lost. And you knew you needed a Savior. And guess what? You's like me. You'd heard that there is one. Well, I'd been over at that Union Avenue Baptist Church all of my life when I was a child, and I'd heard them preachers get up and preach. I'd seen them saints shout. I'd heard people get up and testify how God had delivered them. I knew there was a Savior. But there was one night in September 1972, thank God, he showed me that I needed him. And I'm telling you, this little lady right here found out this day that she needed him. I mean, just some old-fashioned conviction. And that's part of the magnificent power of God. See, not everything can bring conviction. Oh, we got religion. Well, junk your religion and get you some salvation, honey. Amen. I'm just telling you, that's what we need. Boy, this lady come in and she starts weeping. And I mean, she's just so broken. She weeps and cleans his feet. Now listen, you remember what Jesus has told this Pharisee after this little incident happened? He said, you didn't offer me a basin of water or nothing to wash my feet with. His feet's probably dusty and dirty. You know what that lady said? Who cares? I need Jesus. I got to get to him. And I'm going to wash his feet with the hair of my head. She finds herself broken at the feet of Jesus. She's got that old-fashioned convicting power. Can I tell you, when I got convicted, I didn't care what went on. Amen. All I know is I need to get to Jesus. Amen. I didn't care about what you was doing and what everybody else was doing. If that didn't concern, what concerned me is I needed him. That's where she is. She don't care about all that other crowd. They've got their thoughts. They've said their piece. They know what they think. But thank God she said, I just need Jesus. Amen. She got there where he's at. She fell at his feet. She humbled herself. Have you ever seen such humility in your life? As I said, I don't know if any one of us had done that. But you know what it'd take? I don't know that she would have done it outside the convicting power of God. That magnificent power of a living God. I don't know that she'd have done it any other way. She knew that Jesus was in the place. But you know what? She didn't get an invite. She didn't get an invite. She didn't get a little, well, we request the honor of your presence. They didn't want her. They didn't even think about her. They wasn't considering her. They wasn't going to call her. Thank God showed up anyway, didn't she? You know why she showed up? Because she'd heard when she knew that Jesus was there in that house. Boy, can I tell you, I wish people knew that Jesus is in this house. I wish they'd get the notice, everyone. Hey, down there at Old Bethel, Jesus is about to show up. You better get there. Amen. Boy, here they go. I mean, here she goes. She goes running in, and you know what? She don't stop and say, well, hi, Simon, I'm busting up your party, and I know you probably don't. No. She just runs right to Jesus. She don't care what he thinks, what he knows, because he's thinking bad anyway. Well, if he knew who she was, he knows who she is. He knows who you are. He knew who Simon was with that little old pious face and that little old haughty attitude that he had. Jesus knew who he was. He's about to read his title here in a few minutes anyway, wasn't he? Amen? But I'm talking about the magnificent power. Here it was. It was a convicting power. But aren't you glad it was a cleansing power? It was a power that cleaned her up. She's a cleaning Jesus' feet, but Jesus was doing more cleaning than she was. He's a cleaning up a life. He was cleaning up a heart. He was cleaning up some sin. I bet he was doing some cleaning that couldn't be seen by anybody else at the table. Amen. Thank God, aren't you glad we got a God that's got that kind of power?
Amen.
Amen. And, you know, I think somewhere along the line, she's got to be, you know, a little nervous, a little excited, a little whatever about all of the here I am and now what do we do kind of thing. But you know what? Jesus has got some calming power. You see what he says to her? Thy sins be forgiven thee. Woo, how about that, y'all? Was he talking to anybody else? Nope, he wasn't talking to nobody else. He was talking to her. Why? Because she came and she claimed what there was by the magnificent power of God in her life. Amen. Boy, here she was, and Jesus was doing something for her. Now, don't you love the way that old Simon is thinking? Look at this. It says, when Simon is looking at all this stuff and thinking about all this stuff, it says that when the Pharisee that had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself. Listen to what he said. This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. Woo! As I told you, there he was, Mr. Judge, Mr. Jury, Mr. Conviction himself right there. But can I tell you, the Holy Ghost is doing a better job of convicting than he was. Amen. The Holy Ghost had gotten in there bringing some conviction. Now, I want you to notice here that this guy says, this man. You see that little phrase right there? Look down in verse number 44. When Jesus begins to speak to him, and it said, and he turned to the woman, he said unto Simon, seest thou, look what he says, this woman. He said, you said this man. If this man, he said, I want you to look at this woman. Seest thou this woman? Look in verse 45. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, ever since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. Verse 46. My head with oil thou did not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Oh, Pharisee said, this man. And Jesus said, let me tell you about this woman. Amen. And what I've done for her. What she's looking for, what I'm going to do. Thank God, aren't you glad for the marvelous power of God that has showed up? I'm talking about a magnificent, glorious, powerful God of heaven. And all of these things have shown up before her. All right? Let's look at one last thing, if you will. Let's look at the marvel of God's peace in this woman's life. You'll notice that the Bible tells us that in the end of it, it said that Jesus said to her in verse 48, and he said to her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. Amen? Boy, ain't that good? Go in peace. Can I tell you, there's some marvelous peace. Brother Sprayberry sings that song sometimes. Peace, peace, wonderful peace. Coming down from the Father above. Amen. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in fathomless billows of love. Can I tell you, the billows of love have showed up on this woman's life and in her heart, and now she's experiencing the peace of God. Do you know why she's experiencing the peace of God? Well, let me just tell you a few things that she's found here tonight. First of all, let me just tell you that through this whole situation, she has found favor with God. She's found the favor of God. How do you know that, preacher? Well, look, Jesus tells old Simon, he says, I got something to tell you. I got something to talk to you about. I got something to say. And he looks at me and says, oh, Master, say on. Oh, if you've got something, let's listen to the wisdom of the words of the Lord. Yeah, you better get ready. He said there was a certain creditor which had two debtors. One of them owed 500 pence and the other 50. One of them owed $500 and the other owed $50. And when neither one of them had anything to pay, they was both bankrupt, he forgave them both. Now, Jesus says, now, who do you think would love him more for what he has done? And he said, well, let me think about it. I guess the one that he forgave the most. He said, thou hast rightly judged. He said, you figured it out. He said, and let me tell you, you haven't done anything for me to show me any love when I came in your door. But you see, this woman right here hath washed my feet with her tears. She has kissed my feet with her lips. She has anointed me with a precious ointment that no doubt she had saved and spent extravagant amounts of money on. And she'd done it all for me. Now, he said, I'll tell you, those that love much, that are forgiven much, love much. Can I tell you, she found favor with God. She found favor with God because, brother, her love was in the right place. Her love was in the right place. Well, I mean, this old guy thought, well, he ought to consider himself lucky for me to even ask him over here to come to my house. Amen? Right? I mean, you know, there's people like that show up church. Well, the Lord ought to be lucky to have me here today. And if I tip him a little in the offering plate, well, God, you just better be glad I did that. I mean, that's an attitude sometimes that we have, that people have. But can I tell you, we ought to be on our faces weeping and broken and our hearts poured out before God saying, Lord, thank you for having mercy on me, a sinner. Amen. For loving me when I was unlovable. For saving me when I was on my way to hell. When I was rotten and stinking and wasn't going to make it another mile. Amen. That's where we ought to be. But so many times we find ourselves like old Simon. Look at this woman. Look what, if you knew about her, yeah. Well, he knew about her. But he also knew about Simon too, didn't he? He knew about Simon. He said, I won't tell you. And Jesus even mentions this. I mean, he doesn't dodge that issue. She's a sinner, right? He says, wherefore, in verse 47, I say unto thee, her sins. Jesus is not backing out of the position that she's not a sinner. He's not saying, well, you just hush up about calling her. He said, her sins. And listen to what he says. Which are many are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. He said, you must not have a whole lot to be forgiven for, or you must not be very much forgiven, because you hadn't loved a lick. Amen. Let me ask you, how much have you loved him for what he said? That song Logan sang, very appropriate. Did I mention that I love him? He's always been faithful, amen, to every promise he's ever made me. Can I tell you, we ought to be on our feet, I mean on our knees before a holy God, just thanking him for what he's done for us, how he saved us, hey, how that he's given us his favor. Amen. This lady is marveling and really standing before the marvelous peace of God. Amen. How do you know that? Well, first of all, she found favor with God. Second of all, let me tell you this. Her sins were forgiven. What better word could you hear than to say your sins are forgiven? Amen. I mean, her sins are forgiven. And Jesus said, her sins, which are many, are forgiven her. Can I tell you, he forgave me of a lot too. Mine was a whole bunch. I was like the songwriter said in one of those songs we sing in the songbook, my sins, my account, my old account was getting heavy and it was getting bigger every day. But thank God he came by and he saved me. Amen. Hallelujah. Did he do that for you? Boy, he looked at her. He told old son, he said, she got a lot of sin. But guess what? They're gone. They're forgiven. Woo, how about that, y'all? I mean, you ought to be able to get up and have a little dance and shout and spell on that now. Your sins are forgiven. I mean, Jesus looked and said, your sins are forgiven. Wow, what about that? You remember that guy that they tore up a roof and lowered him down and they brought him in? They wanted him to be healed, his four buddies. Brought him in. They lowered him down. You know what the first thing Jesus looked at him, Mark chapter number 2, he said, thy sins be forgiven thee. And that bunch of sanctimonious, hypocritical, Pharisaic crowd looked at him and said, well, who can do that? Nobody can forgive sin but God. Now, they didn't say it, but they was thinking it. And Jesus said, well, why reason you in your hearts like this? He said, just so I can show you that his sins are forgiven. I say unto thee, take up your bed and walk. You know what he did? He got up. He folded up the cot, folded over his shoulder, marched out the door. He was healed and he was forgiven. Hallelujah. Amen. Woo, aren't you glad of that? I mean, finding favor with God is great, but having your sins forgiven is wonderful. But let me tell you this, not only did they find favor with God, sins was forgiven, but then I want to tell you, his sins and her sins were forgotten. They were placed in Never Never Land. They're gone. Oh, there's a little song in the songbook that we sing sometimes that says, you ask me why I'm happy, I'll just tell you why. My sins are gone. Amen? Well, where are they? They're underneath the blood. They're in the sea of God's forgiveness. They're behind his back. They're gone. Never be remembered against us anymore. Hallelujah. Ain't y'all glad of that? I mean, here she is, man. Jesus looks at her and says, you know what? God has given you a favorable response. Amen. I like that. It was the favor of God. You remember, believe maybe what happened to Mary? Mary was sitting there in Luke chapter number 2, and the angel comes to her again, or Luke chapter number 1, and the angel's talking to her. He said, and she's afraid when the angel's talking, fear not. He said, for thou hast found favor with God. Can I tell you, you got a reason to not fear when you've got favor with God. This lady, Jesus, looked. I'm telling you that. Can you imagine? I mean, it's good. You and I, boy, we shout when we know we're forgiven, right? Could you imagine hearing it from Jesus? Jesus himself. Jesus looking at her. And he said, your sins are gone. You're forgiven. Hey, your sins are gone. Woo, they'd still have to be running after me. I'm telling you. If I saw Jesus, and he said, your sins are gone. I know he has done that for us. But man, could you imagine hearing those words from his very earthly lips saying, your sins are gone. You'd say, whoo, I'm out of here. Amen. Take off running a lap or two. So you see that this lady has favor with God. This lady's forgiven. This lady's sins are forgotten. And let me just tell you, this lady has the brightest future of anybody that I know. What does Jesus tell her? Jesus looks at her and he tells her, first of all, that her sins are gone. He looks at her and he says, thy sins are forgiven in verse 48. Verse 49, that crowd says, well, who can forgive sins? But then Jesus looks at her and said, thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. Your future is taken care of. Your ticket has been purchased and you're ready, waiting on a flight to go home. Woo, what a future that is. To realize that you're forgiven. To realize your sins are forgotten. To realize you're in the place of favoritism with God. And you know what she did to do it? Didn't do nothing, really. She came in and she got broken before God. She humbled herself and she just fell before Jesus' feet. That's all she did. You know what? I don't even see it. Now, if it's there, y'all let me know, but I ain't found it. She ain't even said a word to him. She ain't said, forgive me or I'm wrong or I'm a sinner or nothing. And Jesus just looks at her and says, I know. You know where all that was at? Down in her heart. And her heart was broken. And her heart was contrited. And her heart was now bubbling over. And she said, woo, that's what she said. How do you know? Well, it ain't in there, but I know she said it. Amen. Because that's what me and you say when we know that Jesus has taken care of our sin debt. That he's written our names in heaven. And that we're going home with him one day. Amen. Boy, isn't that good? Hey, I mean, Jesus just looks at, and I mean, I know it's the way our people here have done it, but that's the end of that chapter, isn't it? Boy, can I tell you, that was the end of that chapter in her life. She is a start in a new chapter. Now, I'll look at something just real quickly, and we'll get through and move on, but it says in chapter number 8, verse number 1, came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 are with him. But look at the number, verse number 2. And certain women, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils, and Joanna, the wife of Chusa, Herod's servant, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto him of their substance. There's a lot of theologians and a lot of Bible scholars that say they think maybe this lady was Mary Magdalene. We don't know that. I mean, that's not, you can't quote that and say, well, that's absolutely the truth. We don't know that, but it wouldn't surprise me. Why? Because when Jesus did what he did for her, wouldn't you want to follow him around? Wouldn't you want to love on him? Wouldn't you love to be there when he done it for somebody else? Could you see that lady? She's following Jesus around. And then all of a sudden, Jesus heals somebody. Jesus forgives somebody. Jesus cleans and changes somebody's life. And that old lady said, whoop, he done it again. Amen. He did it for me and he's done it for them. Amen. Isn't that what me and you want to do? I mean, they just followed him around. They ministered to him of their substance. They helped. They did what they could, earthly. But thank God, I believe they said, "Woo! We just get behind you and shout a while when we see you do it again. When we see that you've done it again." Amen? You see that crowd's chasing him around? The 12 disciples, ragtag bunch, and a group of women. And you read the history of that group of women. They were those that he cast devils out of, those that was wicked, filled with evil spirits. I mean, all this other stuff in their lives. And they's a following Jesus. Why? Because he had made a difference in their lives. He had made a difference in their lives. Amen. Amen. I believe that's the message for tonight that God wants us to see. Amen. Listen, there's just one judge, and God's it. And guess what? Me and you ain't it. We're nowhere close, are we? Amen. Brother Ronnie, come on. Let's get ready to sing some song tonight. Maybe if God's speaking to your heart, maybe you've got some need or some burden on your soul, you just need to come pray about some things or just come and thank God for what he has done for you. I mean, it'd be all right. I mean, man, think about that song again that Brother Logan was singing. Did I mention that I love him? Hallelujah. Oh, I tell you, we ought to be like that tonight. We ought to be ready to mention it to somebody else. And say, let me tell you what he's done for me. Let's stand, if you would. What are we going to sing, Brother Ron? 375. 375.